Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Very funny comedian Tony Baker is going to hang with us in studio. We'll do the news as well. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
I can't be a fraud. So I ain't going to do gay shit just so I can be in the community. But, man, I wish I was, man, if I was gay, because I'd be out. Like, I wouldn't even hide. I'd be like, where the dudes at, man? Ain't enough balls on this page, man. Where the butt cheeks? Where the male butt cheeks? I'm double tapping. I'm going to be savagely gay, too. Just dusting dudes off. No marriage, man. You never married, man. Fuck these dudes, man. Bend your ass over. I'm smashed.
Tony Baker on the Adam Carolla Show.
I was saying the other day into this microphone, I wish I was gay.
Yeah.
It's a better life.
Yeah. These days, absolutely.
You say it's a better life?
Well, I think these days.
Yeah.
These days. Mm-hmm. Or more specifically, these days, if you live in the, you know, Los Angeles, Malibu area, maybe Manhattan.
Beautiful, clean parts of town. You guys are probably on the same page with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Share clothes. Mm. It's a good life.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if, you know, Tony, you wanted to, you know, fulfill your commitment to going gay, and I went gay, I feel like that opened a lot of doors for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, power couple for you, yeah.
Yeah, check a few boxes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Don't answer now. Just think about it.
Well, think about it. Let me process. Well,
let's see how this goes.
Let me process the cheeks.
A little speed
of Adam. Yeah.
So, Tony, it says here, the reason I asked you before the mic's heated up how old you were is because it says 35 on my
I'm 45.
But,
give me that 10 years, man. Let me get that.
Did you how long have you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing stand-up for 14 years and some change.
What were you doing before stand-up? Because you were 31.
Yeah, 31 when I started. I wanted to be an actor the whole time, ever since I was a kid, but it just didn't seem realistic. Growing up in Chicago on the South Side, it wasn't a hotbed for, you know, film.
Casting calls.
Yeah, you know, they weren't really driving down the street looking for the next, you know.
Right.
Arnold from Different Strokes, but it just seemed like a fantasy at the time. So I was just trying to do regular stuff just to get a regular job. Not regular, but you know what I mean, like outside of the industry.
Civilian.
We had, you know, before there was Arnold from Different Strokes in the cute and black child department, there was Rodney Allen Rippey.
I remember that name.
Do you remember Rodney?
There's Emmanuel Lewis and there's Different Strokes.
Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman.
Who paved the way for all of them.
I recognize
the
name.
Black Rosa Parks.
What?
Stop. Oh, no, wait. Rodney Allen Rippey.
Wow.
Rodney Allen Rippey was the cutest, blackest six-year-old on the planet. He took America and captured our hearts.
Yeah.
He is cute.
You guys are a little young. Yeah. His claim to fame was they sat down and they told him to eat a Jumbo Jack. Mm. And he sat there and tried to eat a Jumbo Jack in 1975.
That was the commercial?
Jack in the Box was out then?
Jack in the Box was out.
Wow.
Mother regional.
Rodney Allen Rippey was running the show. You tell me if you can find any cuter. You can, you know, talk about Willis all you want. This ain't right. We'll get the sound worked out for Rodney. Sorry.
Is that Jumbo Jack? Yeah, from Jack in the Box. Here's a bun. Here's a meat patty. Here's a tomato. Here's an onion ring. Here's a pickle. Here's a lettuce. And Jumbo Jack. Can I have the bike running?
Sure, I'll help you.
Have a bike. Well, how you like
him? Anyone cuter than Rodney Allen Rayburn?
No. If he was running for mayor, he must have, you know, had been successful in business or something.
He right. is so freaking cute.
I like how he bit with her as yeah. she bit. He was just like,
what year was that, Emmy? And then was that a local thing? Because I grew up watching that commercial, and then there was a Jack in the Box up the street for me, so that brought me
You in. Grew up in California?
Yep.
Ah, okay.
I'm one of the few people.
L.A.?
Yeah. Well, uh-oh. San Fernando Valley. But,
okay.
But
close enough.
Sorry, I'm really into this right now. Do you remember a song called Take Life a Little Easier?
No.
Because he was giggling while singing that song, and that also catapulted him to stardom.
Oh, wow. Mm.
I'd like to hear that.
Well, I think, like I said, he was the cute black child before
100%.
Arnold came in and Urkel and all sure. the folks that mm-hmm. Followed him.
And he did $6 Million Man, Marcus Welby.
Oh, wow. He was out of here.
Police Story, Odd Couple.
Yeah.
He was wow. working.
Yeah. So you thought you were going to be the next Rodney Allen Rippey. Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But decided to take your talents to the comedic stage instead.
You know what made me start doing stand-up was I came out here for acting in 2006. And, you know, you had that fantasy, like, I'm going to get off the bus. And Denzel is going to see me get off the Greyhound. And he's going to do this with his hands. And then, and he's going to be like, I want to put you in my next film, Antoine Fisher style. Mm-hmm. And then that's not the reality. And so I was like, let me try stand-up as a way of exposure to get, you know, because I look at, you know, all the stand-up comedians that transitioned into TV and film, that was just a blueprint. Mm-hmm. Robin Williams being uh-huh, the main guy, uh-huh. Damon, Jim Carrey, you name
Seinfeld.
It.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, you name it. So I'm just like, let me try that. And then once I did stand-up one time, I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm.
This, I never knew. This is.
It's a blessing to have that thing where you do something and you go, this is what I'm yes. supposed to be doing, unless it's killing prostitutes, in which right. case it's not. But either yeah, way,
run for that instinct.
You right. still have that. I did stand-up for the first time, and I sort of went, this is what I'm supposed to be doing?
The audience shook their head.
Question
like,
mark.
No, you should not be. And I was like, maybe a little, not so much.
Yeah.
But you knew it the first time yeah. you got up on stage.
I was like, this is amazing. This is exactly.
So it went well the first time you
it
went
did.
Out?
It did. I did it at the Ha Ha Cafe on Lancashire in North Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Paid $5. Went up, did 5 minutes. And did well in front of comedians. And I was just like, I always ask myself, what if I bombed horribly? Would I still have that mindset of, this is what I'm supposed to be doing?
Right.
But I never stopped doing stand-up after that. I went every day.
Speaking of acting, I should point out that Tony did have a small role in the fantastic film Whiplash.
Yes, and they cut it right out.
No!
They cut it right out. You brutal. Can still see my silhouette behind J.K. Simmons. That's all that's left. I'd summon him that, you know, they got to hit the stage when he's talking.
Aww. How did that come about? Because that's not a very funny movie. It wouldn't have been a very funny role, I can't imagine.
No, it was a serious role. Yeah. I was just a stagehand, so it was a small role, but the director emailed me. At least he gave me the heads up before I showed up to the
yeah,
premiere. I got
right.
my family. Like, yeah, this is it. And, yeah, he told me that they had to cut it.
But
and
how did you even come to be in it?
I just auditioned, really.
That's great.
Yeah, I just auditioned and shot it. It was a one-day shoot, and then they brought me back for another day, and then they never used me that day. So I just got paid to sit in the trailer and eat nice. Fig bars. So, yeah, and then they cut.
Yeah.
I still get the checks, though.
That's
but
great.
You know,
yeah.
I had no clue it was going to be this Oscar darling of a movie.
Changed my life.
It was a great film.
I love it. It's
great
one
film.
Of the best films I've seen.
It looks good on my
I love
resume.
That film, too. Was it Matt Atchety from Rotten Tomatoes who didn't like it? Who was
it? Was Gina Grant.
It was.
Oh, it was Gina Grant who didn't like it.
It wasn't that I didn't like it, and I haven't seen it since it came out, because I watched the whole thing. And
look
my
at
phone
you
was
backtracking.
No,
in front of
it was
Tony.
That it was that I didn't believe at the time. Maybe I would if I saw it again. I didn't believe a teacher could be that mean, and uh-huh. people would still be dying to be in his presence.
Mm.
That didn't ring true for me.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's a different mentality, male versus female, because some of the best football coaches in the world are the biggest assholes, mm-hmm. at least traditionally, especially college coaches.
Bill Parcells, Bobby Knight.
Yeah, I have no experience in that world.
And sporting, in a weird way, guys, especially guys that are kind of rudderless, didn't have a dad, lack discipline, are weirdly attracted, sort of moth to the flame style. Yeah. I was that way. I had a kind of a weak dad, and I loved getting yelled at by fat dudes in windbreakers, call me a sauce and a pussy and all that kind of stuff. There was something compelling, and you never said, oh, yeah, Mr. Nielsen's a nice guy, or I like Mr. Gallagher. You didn't like him or anything, but there was a part of you that weirdly needed it, like young males need it. And we're trying to curtail it all the time, like, hey, watch your tone with the young boy. It's like, no, they need it like they need to scrap.
We had a hard-ass coach at high school. I wasn't very good, but he was a hard-ass Coach McKenzie, and his thing was, if I didn't like you, I wouldn't yell at you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the mentality.
That's like your blueprint for love. Yeah.
I like that hard-edged stuff. It drives your work and your, you know, when you get yelled at, you put it into, especially for sports, you need that aggression and that energy. And I imagine, like Whiplash, when you're on the drums, that's a lot of energy.
You get a lot. The other thing, too, is you get a lot of confidence when you're being broken down and sort of built back up, especially if you're playing football, but almost any sport where you have to kind of go to battle, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You like the fact that General Patton is your general, like the hard ass. And we have decided that these young boys internalize all this stuff. They really don't. You can yell at them, and we don't want them to wrestle or play roughhouse or anything. We're like feminizing the whole thing. We're like, don't wrestle. Don't put your hands on, don't do toxic masculinity. Yeah. It's part of the reason our society's fucking falling apart right now is we've got a bunch of fucking dudes who think like chicks, and that's not a good turn for society. All the stuff we decided we didn't want them to do was like through the viewmaster of a woman. And so they don't like the violence. They don't like the contact. They don't like the injuries. They don't like the roughhousing. Guess what? Guys need that. It's not just all about your lens. And part of the fucked up things in our society right now is we turned hard that direction, and now we're kind of reaping it.
Yeah.
Tony, you look like you played some sports at some point.
I played football.
You played football.
Yeah.
Because you're big and you're strong looking.
I played football for a little bit. At the time, I didn't have the right mentality for it, so I didn't stay in it, but I like that aggression. You know, we grew up fighting and roughhousing and wrestling and slapping. I fought girls when I was little. You know, in elementary, anybody could get it when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? Like, first grade, I was losing to these girls, man. This Chicago, they was socking me out.
I got beat up by a heavyset woman of color when I was a youth.
Equal opportunity, man. Equality.
I was giving away 40 pounds to her. She was big. She was aggressive. She was strong. Put me on my back.
Did you like her, though? Were you attracted after the beatdown?
No, it was a very uncomfortable situation for me because after she did give me the beatdown, I yelled something insulting at her during the beatdown.
Was it racial?
No. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of regrets, and that's one of them. I just called her a bitch.
Nope.
Well, everyone had gathered around us, like coaches and people as well. Yeah. I was on my back. I had my foot in like her sternum. She's taking swings at me.
Yeah.
And everyone's just enjoying themselves. Like they're buying popcorn. And I go, get this fat bitch the like fuck off me.
It's like Boogie Nights at William H. Macy's wife.
That's right.
On the driveway.
So they got her off me, but then the problem is we had a very long bus ride home, and she and her siblings were on the bus as well that I had to then ride. So it was a very long and uncomfortable bus ride.
Sure.
Did they get you again on the bus?
No, it stemmed from me running my mouth. You know, we went, I don't know where, to play a softball tournament when I was like in the seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
We beat them in softball. But I never really liked softball. I liked football.
Yeah.
And then one of them yelled, like, when we were heading back to the bus, like, you're lucky we're not playing football. We'll whoop your ass. And I, like, turned around and went, if we were playing football, I would. And then she was on top of me.
Oh, wow. That's all it took.
That's all it took.
Wow.
I'm sure her and Rodney Allen Rippey are neck and neck in their mayoral run right now in Compton.
No, what girls? Karen Bass.
That's right. Could
future
be Karen
mayor.
Bass.
And those softball women, they got some heft.
Oh, yeah.
Those oh, some, she had some heft. So you would fight. Women. You didn't discriminate. Male, female, didn't matter.
Oh, yeah. We just fought. And I remember losing to my next door neighbor. She was a little bit older than me. And she hit me in the eye. And I saw hearts on that sock out. It was like, oh, yeah. I remember looking up at her, socking me out, and I was like, yeah, had a crush on her after
love.
That.
Yeah.
Wow.
She had a Jerry curl, so some of the juice was getting in my eye. It was beautiful.
Tough love.
It was poetic. But I don't think she liked me back, but socked me out.
And how much football did you play?
I only played for 1 year. I played for 1 year in ninth grade, so freshman. And I was just like, you know, I'm not really feeling it. And so I tried out for basketball, didn't make the team. And I was just like, you know what, forget sports. And then just, I was a regular student after that. No sports.
Did you not, so the discipline,
mm-hmm.
and maybe there's a, maybe that, did you have discipline at home? Did you have a discipline? Was your dad there? Did he discipline you?
My dad, so growing up, my parents were divorced. So we went to my dad's house every weekend. So I would go, you know, to his house Saturday and Sunday. So I got the discipline there. But by the time high school rolled around, we had moved to New Mexico. So it was just me and my mom there. So I didn't have the discipline of sports built uh-huh. in. Because I feel like, you know, you got to start it early to build up that discipline. I was just like, it's hot. You know what I'm saying? We out here sweating. I was the tackle, defensive tackle. Sometimes nose tackle. That was my favorite position. And I just didn't have it. I was just like, I'm not really into it.
Yeah, it's hard to foist on someone sort of once they're in their teenage years, because if you don't get it early and often, then it just seems hot and uncomfortable and dangerous and shitty.
It's just a waste of my time.
Exactly.
That's my son who didn't get it. He didn't get it either. You got to get it early, otherwise it's just some old dude yelling at you, and it doesn't make sense.
I think I waited too long. But one thing I do know is that when coaches yell, I know I never take that personally, and I think that's why it works, because I feel like, oh, you just yelling. This is what you do. You're yelling at everybody instead of me taking it. You know, some people are like, I could never. You know, so when I joined the fraternity in college, they do that breakdown to build you up type stuff.
They did.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was able to, you know, disengage and be like, all right, they're doing this for this reason and it's not personal.
Where'd you go to college?
New Mexico State.
Are those Lobos?
That's the Aggies.
Oh.
Lobos are in Albuquerque. Brian Urlacher went to UNM.
He's a Lobo.
Yeah, he's a Lobo. But yeah, now Brian Urlacher sold out. This is a side beef I got.
Go on.
He's in the hair community, man.
You guys see that?
There's billboards all over Chicago.
You drive through Chicago, you land at the airport. Before you get to your hotel, you'll see 175 Urlacher hair billboards.
Oh, like restore your hair?
Yeah, he got
fuck
the full
guy.
Crop, man.
What the hell, man?
His whole career is Bald McGee.
I was going to say.
I looked up to him.
On the Vanguard.
Man.
And it worked, and no one had a beef.
Everyone knew him for the dome.
All over Chicago, he's sitting up there on billboards with hair. Jokes. They get little jokes.
No. They're
look
puns.
The hell is
they're
this?
All hair-related
yes.
puns.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Amy will find some of these. You will not get anywhere in Chicago without seeing Urlacher and his head of hair.
Breaking bald.
Oh,
man. That's what I'm talking
about. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Look at him. Look
ready,
at him.
Ready, set, grow. Yeah.
Okay. They got the before picture.
Come on,
the
man.
Bald
double
picture.
Play.
They got the after picture, and it's all just hair-related pun.
Tackle balding.
All right. That's all it is.
The thing these guys don't realize is the cool bald look, that's what makes you special, makes you stand out. Urlacher's just another fucking dude with the dumb hair.
As a proud bald, I am offended.
Goddamn right.
I am offended. That he sold out, man. He was a beacon of bald.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You ever have those arguments with people where everyone's pretending they're sort of in some neutral ground, but everyone's sort of defending themselves? Like, I'm the guy with the hair going, yeah, but he looks pretty young with the hair on there. I mean, come on.
I don't trust him now.
It's not bad looking. I'm just saying.
What a joke. That guy's just sold out.
He was an all pro, you know.
He should be ashamed of himself.
I thought I knew him. I had his jersey.
He had Urlacher's jersey.
I burned it. Once I saw the billboards, I peed on it and burned it.
Yeah. Oh, and it still caught fire, even though it was soaked with your urine.
Oh, yeah, I got that hot piss.
Oh, hot piss.
No STI. Hot piss. So that's what they called me back in the day, hot piss.
And I don't know what company it's for, but I don't know why they need a billboard every 40 feet, but it is lousy.
We are not exaggerating. It is literally several billboards. Like if you're coming from O'Hare Airport, he's all over that mud.
O'Hare?
Yeah.
O'Hare.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do it.
And they did a pun on that.
Hair.
Yeah, they did a pun on that.
Oh, they did.
Oh, yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Nonstop.
Oh, it's tedious.
It is, although if you live in the Chicago area, he is more ubiquitous now than he was when he was playing with the Bears.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
If you're some...
Well, it's the last time they had success.
Yeah, it's been a while, but if you're some young person, you know him as the balding guy, which makes us feel old because it's funny when you get older. Like I knew Yankees great Phil Rizzuto is the guy for the Money Store. I didn't even know he played. It was like they get these old players, and then they have them, you know. They
Shaq, you mean the guy from the General commercials?
Right. Yeah, the General.
Yeah, I know him.
The General's buddy.
That's right.
Yeah, why?
Yeah.
He play?
I don't know, but I think he also did Papa John's.
Yeah, Mike Ditka. There's
Joe
probably
Namath.
A version of all these guys. You don't even remember they were in the league anymore. They're just that guy. So Urlacher probably going to end up being
that
guy.
Tony, now I got to get your bald Mount Rushmore. Who's up there? Give me three or four bald idols.
Bald icons.
Not yours per se, but they represent the pillars of the community.
We got to go, even though he's fictional, we got to go Charles Xavier.
Dr. X. Yeah, Professor X.
Bald and just killing
it. Wow, I didn't see that coming.
You know, it's iconic in the bald. Kojak. Kojak came in bald first.
He loves
you, baby.
Yeah, got to go Kojak the Lollipop.
And Jordan's up there, of course.
Oh, Jordan is just, iconic. Mm-hmm. So we got those three. And then who am I going to round it out with on the bald tip? Let's be real, man. Darth Vader is bald under that helmet.
Oh, I never thought about that.
And he didn't become cool until he became Darth Vader.
True.
Anakin with hair, man, bullshit.
Yeah, look at that fucking flowing locks. Pathetic.
Wow.
When he's bald under that and sounded like James Earl Jones, that's the villain of the...
That's the one we know.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
but you never heard of Rodney Allen Rippey yet. This much about the... The Star Wars franchise. I'm off guard. I got to color me surprised.
I think that commercial was regional, though, because I swear I've never heard of Jack in the Box until much later.
Well, Amy, we got to find out what year Rodney Allen Rippey was doing that commercial.
Yeah,
and
we
then,
didn't have Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
I briefly looked on Wikipedia. Jack in the Box was a San Diego company that got bought by a larger company. And in the 70s, they started a big expansion. So it would have made sense that it would have grown from there to L.A. and parts of California.
Gotcha.
So that would have made sense.
77 is the year the commercial is. Yeah, let's see if we can book Rodney Allen Rippey.
Maybe he'll run again for office.
See if we can get him elected.
Yeah.
Jumbo Jack.
It also fucked me up because Rodney Allen Rippey was a miniature, tiny little human being at the time he shot the commercial.
Right.
And then it's got the word jumbo in the burger.
Mm-hmm.
So he's handling the burger and the burger's dwarfing him because he's so tiny.
And that's the point.
And then I buy the goddamn hamburger and it's like the size of a slider.
Right.
Because I'm normal size.
Right.
I knew what they were doing.
The slogan was too big to eat.
Yes. Oh.
So there you go.
Yes.
That's smart, though. Get a 6-year-old to hold your burger.
Yeah.
It's
gigantic.
Smart.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. I got a dick version of that, too. But the problem is the age. My lawyer keeps telling me, no, it's not going to work. And don't put it on the internet. That's the problem.
Whatever you gain will be lost tenfold.
Use a dime for scale, for Christ's sake. Not a 6-year-old's hand.
Man.
He keeps saying to me.
I lived on Jumbo Jacks in college.
Oh, did you?
They were 99 cents. Yeah. So we stayed
in
that drive-thru.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there should be a coffee table book with celebrities just talking about their poor meals.
Sure.
And I don't have time for you and your ramen and your Kraft mac and cheese. Yeah. That's fine. We all ate that.
Right.
But yeah, I had
Jumbo Jack.
The Jumbo Jack, for me, there was a Burger King in like Chatsworth. Uh-huh. And when I'd go to work out there, they had the two for 99 or the 99 cent each. What was the burger? The Whopper. The Whopper. Yeah, you could get a Whopper, and then you'd get two Whoppers, and that was big.
Did you guys know this came up a long time ago. I was a secret shopper for Jack in the Box.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Really? I was a mystery guest, they called him. It was a secret shopper for the Jack in the Box Corporation.
What does that mean exactly? So what were you
they
doing?
They hired like 10 at once, right? Uh-huh. And you were on for like a year. Uh-huh. And they gave you a territory based on where you lived. And we're in L.A., so that's why I knew where Chino was, because Chino is in my territory. I had like far out East L.A., like Chino, Diamond Bar. Horrible places. So places.
Like quality control, customer service.
Yeah, you'd get an assignment. Usually it was three restaurants, they called them, within a radius. And it was like, all right, go inside this one, observe the bathroom, observe the wait, time your wait time, always wear a watch. Yeah. Next one, do the drive through, park somewhere inconspicuous, time the cars, time five cars, then go through yourself. Then, of course, eat, taste the food, get to how it is. And it was elaborate.
So you were a snitch.
Yeah, that's right.
I got paid.
That's exactly
right. A plant, a spot.
That's right.
Yeah. You were Tom Cruise.
You know what's funny? I never ratted anyone out. I always just gave the blanket, very boring. It was good. It was fine. Everything was good.
Because it probably was fine.
Yeah. It was. It ran like clockwork.
Yeah. Did you get fat off it?
I fucking got fat off it. That's when I met you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Brian
the early.
Was fat.
Been Jack in the Box?
I love line. I screen calls.
Oh, gotcha.
But I was fat.
I was managing fat from Jack the Chino in the Box. Location at the time. Brian came in and
had an attitude.
No, I got fat.
My main beef with Jack in the Box is the fact that they put sliced cheese on tacos.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah. And they dip the whole taco.
Deep fry the taco.
It was outrageous.
And you tell me if this is good or bad. I thought it was pretty good. They put sugar on the fries.
What?
Do they?
They used to put like a little bit of like, I guess,
what are
brown
they doing
sugar?
Out here?
I haven't eaten there in
pretty good, actually.
37 years. But I'll say this, at least.
Yeah, this is 20 years
going back 30 years. McDonald's was always better than Jack in the Box, but not the apple pie. I stand by the Jack in the Box apple pie. Jack in the Box had a killer apple pie.
Was it like the Hot Pocket, like
McDonald's?
It was
like the Hot Pocket, better, much better.
Probably deep fried. They throw everything in there.
This is a bold claim, Adam.
Yes.
Because the apple pie at McDonald's is undefeated.
Iconic.
I get it. And, I take no solace in this comment, but it was better.
Yeah.
It was better. Now, I still had the same problem, which is the outside was very holdable and the inside was molten lava and you burn your tongue. Right. So you had to let it sit for a minute.
Wow. I didn't even know they had them.
Yeah, I
heard that.
Find out of the...
Man, that picture looks old.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
And it was like an empanada. It had like a crimped.
It's fantastic.
It was crimped. It was strong. It was a strong effort.
Now, you say you have no time for
Oh, you know what it was? I should say it was the hot version of the Hostess pie.
Oh, those were unbeatable. They were iced.
That was this, but hot.
God, yes. Those are good. You say you have no time for ramen, and we get that, but did you have time for fried bologna? Because we grew up on that.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Really?
A little mustard.
Take the little red strap off the ends, throw it in there, get the little bubble.
You guys ever did fried bologna?
Take the case off.
Yeah.
No, my high class cheap meal, ramen, mix in a little bit of egg and soy sauce, and you got yourself some fried jamaican.
Look at you.
Yeah. That was really living.
What are you doing this with the
pan? The wall.
Scrambled egg right inside.
fried bologna is fucking awesome.
What do you put?
It was good.
How do you finish it
just
off?
Mustard and bread.
And, oh, you did mustard.
Yeah,
wow,
always mustard and bread, yeah.
What'd you put on there, Tony?
I usually like Miracle Whip of mayonnaise. You know, I know, contrary to popular belief, I'm a black that likes mayonnaise, you know.
Oh, they say blacks people, not like mayonnaise?
They say black people don't like mayonnaise. Oh. That's the stereotype.
And especially Miracle Whip, which is like diet mayonnaise.
It was just eating pussy. I didn't know there was mayonnaise.
Oh. My struggle meal is cream corn sandwiches in college.
What?
It gets no realer than that.
That's pretty good.
How do you even put that on a sandwich?
We had cream corn, and I was just, man, we got to make a sandwich out of something, man. That was when I had to make a sandwich out of everything. And so the cream corn.
Remember.
Cream corn sandwiches.
You guys remember, it was a good little window in poor person life, which is you're young enough, you're poor enough, you had enough metabolism, and then in my case, I work construction. Mm-hmm. So it's like I could not gain weight. And then you just became like a stoner in the pantry. Mm-hmm. You could just go, I'm going to open that can of cream corn. I'll make up a big shitload of rice. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to get some Campbell chunky soup. And I'm, a pot pie.
I'll get a turkey pot pie.
Yeah. I'll mix a pot pie in with the baked beans and put that over the rice. Yeah. It's like you couldn't get fats. You could eat like a crazed fucking stoner. And you could do that shit at 2 a.m.
Of course.
In the morning.
Sodium levels off the charts.
Carbs you couldn't ingest. You'd wake up the next day and just look the same.
You feel great. Yeah.
You felt the fucking same. And you didn't have enough money to go out and get a good version of everything. You had to have some cunning in there. I would do a big pile of rice, and then tell me how good this fucking sounds. Take a whole, like, Swanson's Hungry Man turkey pot pie or chicken pot pie and just capsize right on top of it. Fucking nothing better.
I used to love those pot pies,
just
man.
Just delicious.
Jillion grams of carbs. Oh. But, oh, man, eat the shit out of that.
Sounds great.
Man, remember when you didn't care about the label? Remember when you just ate what you liked?
Yeah.
You didn't even look at the back of the can.
You know what we loved? I couldn't imagine even smelling it now, let alone eating it, but we would go through cans of Chef Boyardee ravioli. Cases of it.
Yes.
It got no
delicious.
Better than that.
Yeah.
No, there was nothing you could put in your body. You didn't read a label.
No.
You never heard of a carb or counting a carb or anything. It's just fucking dump it in my gullet.
Oh.
We have audio of me interviewing Jack in the Box from 2009. Emmy? I got Jack.
President of Jack in the Box, Jack himself. Jack, good to see you.
Hey, Adam. Good to see you, too.
Is that your title, by the way? Do you own Jack in the Box?
You know, Jack in the Box is a publicly traded company, so the shareholders own Jack in the Box, but I am the founder.
I'm reading my cheat sheet here, and it says it started in 1951. You can take those headphones off.
Yeah, they're a little small for my head.
You got a lot of head on.
You can only do one side at a time.
Yeah. I remember Jack in the Box as a kid. There was a Jack in the Box on Laurel Canyon in North Hollywood. Still there, by the way.
Yeah, that'd be number 27.
We call it
27.
Old 27 was by my house in North Hollywood. And some of my earliest, fondest memories were the tacos. I always like the hot apple pie. I felt like
McDonald's this ground before, but yeah, Jack from Jack in the Box.
The Jack in the Box.
The Jack in the Box was on the show. A funny
it's
guy,
a good get.
By
well,
the way.
Well, he created the whole marketing campaign.
He was the head of the marketing department.
Like the actual guy.
The agency.
That's his voice and everything.
Did he have the head when he came in?
Sounds like he did. Could get the headphones on.
That could have been Theater of the Mind.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's funny.
I have no idea whether I was just screwing around with him or he had the head on. Oh, Gary says.
He had the head on.
Gary says he had the head on.
Fun fact. My first national commercial was the Jack in the Box commercial.
What?
Wow. Yep.
It was they had a pastrami sandwich that they were, you know, shelling out.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably like maybe between 2008 and 11 somewhere. And I was in that commercial.
I remember.
Are they paying us for this hour?
Yeah, I know. We've talked enough about them. Although I do feel like we should all just get stoned and go to the closest Jack in the Box and get into some of that. And the tacos are not good tacos by any stretch of the imagination. They have become their own food group.
Yeah.
They're good.
And that's what they are.
Yeah, they make your mouth wander, but they're not like quality tacos.
Well, you said a long time ago, boss, that the Jack in the Box taco is simultaneously the best and the worst taco ever made.
Yeah. It's essentially what a Twinkie is to Danish.
Yeah.
A Twinkie is a Twinkie.
Yeah.
Which with sort of.
Like a lady finger.
It tastes like a Twinkie.
Yeah.
It's its own thing.
And that's the best place you could get with your food or an entertainer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's just a lot of comedians and entertainers where you go, Rip Taylor, I don't even know what the fuck that guy does.
He's just a type unto himself.
He's just that guy.
Yeah, right.
Yes. All right, let me tell you about, is he dead? He's got to be dead.
I think he died somewhere recently.
I will tell you guys about LifeLock. Higher property values have increased home title fraud. The fraudsters file a title transfer to a bogus ID. then sells, refinances, or takes a loan out against the victim's property. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal info gets exposed often, and it's easy for cybercriminals to steal your identity. Protecting your identity is easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not spot on your own, like loans taken out in your name. If you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
Wow. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back with the news and Tony Baker right after this.
Available now for pre-order, Adam's sixth book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything Reminds Me of Something, coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Sad update about Rip Taylor. He did leave us in 2019.
Well, there's another Rip I'm interested in, as in Rodney Allen Rip E. I want to know what he looks like now.
Okay.
Amy, find Rodney Allen Rippey now. He was the cutest five-year-old on the planet.
Nice-looking guy. I did find him a picture from his teenage years that was a little tough.
This is damn exciting stuff.
He's gonna rip.
Oh, yeah.
Rip. Well, it's tough. A little tough. Rip, but who among us had Yeah. I miss Rip Torn.
I do, too.
I loved him. Torn.
I don't think his community misses him. So I think he liked to get drunk and head out a lot.
Corrals,
oh, wow. He was wild like that?
He would have a few cocktails and try to get into banks that were closed. And
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Remember those stories, Brian?
Just dynamite.
Rip had some tough times.
Yeah.
But between Defending Your Life and Larry Sanders' show, treasure.
Yeah.
Dodgeball. Come on, man.
That's right.
How did his name come about?
Rip Torn?
Yeah.
I don't know how. I would say.
Y'all know his real name?
Well, I'm going.
Elmer. Elmore.
Well, yeah, let's go with Rip Torn.
Yeah. But I bet was his last name Torn? Like,
Yeah.
So I'm here's my logic. I was thinking, I'm going the Evel Knievel route, which he had the Knievel.
Yeah.
Then he got the Evel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he had Torn, and then he got Rip.
Rip, yeah.
I'm reverse engineering.
Yeah, you're right.
Genius name, though.
Yeah.
Rip Torn, fantastic.
Yeah, you could still see little baby Rodney Allen Rip in this guy's
too.
Face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He still got like an adorable Torn. Quality there.
I got Brian's reference.
Natalie Imbruglia.
Torn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see what's happening.
Brought to life.
Really good song.
Love this song.
Great. By the way, I got Tori Amos tonight.
Oh.
So excited.
Tori Amos? Remember her?
No. Oh.
Now we'll give you $100 if you tape yourself saying, play Torn.
I couldn't be the man I adore. Let's do some news. So a little bit of an update on Brittany Griner, who is still cooling her heels in Russia. The Russian court has ruled that she will remain in custody for at least a couple of weeks until July 2nd. She's been stuck there since mid-February.
She's a WNBA
hoopstress. U.S. State Department officials met with representatives from the team, the Phoenix Mercury, with the goal of getting her home soon and safely. She was arrested on drug charges in February after a search of her luggage found a vape cartridge containing cannabis oil. Or did it? Who knows?
I tend to believe she probably a lot of athletes use that.
But nobody coaches you up to say we're going to Russia, maybe leave this at home.
There are many things coaches ask athletes to do
that they don't listen to
before the season begins they still seem to get engaged in. So
well, she's in the gulag for it.
I think it was hers, but then I don't care. She travels with it. That's her business. Let's see. Well, first things first. Okay, here's what I want to say. Why is this country so impotent at getting people home?
Our country?
Yes.
Because the things that are asked in the trade are not reasonable.
Yeah, but I think this was our fault with Roman Polanski.
Oh,
I think we set a precedent.
Yeah.
And they had that remember that poor kid?
Was
beer,
it
warm, auto beer, auto
warm beer,
warm beer,
warm beer,
auto
yeah.
warm beer
yeah.
goes to China, like steals a poster, and they fucking drug him, and he's brain dead, and then he dies in North Korea or wherever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got her. She's been rotting over there for 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It started with Roman Polanski. We let the world know, like the guy, you know, butt fucks one of our teens, which is our future. Teens are
right.
Yeah. He soils one of our teens. Right. Mm-hmm. Then he goes off to Gay Perry, and we're like, "Oh, what are you gonna do?" It's like, "Hey, fuckers, we just saved your ass from the Nazis like 10 minutes ago.
We know where he is.
We're gonna send over a couple of dudes.
Yeah,
you'll recognize them. They'll have buzz cuts and reflective sunglasses.
Seagal and Kurt Russell.
They'll be fucking. They'll be packing heat." And we shall then collect our pedophile and bring him back here.
Right.
And if you got a beef with that, I'll tell you what, think ahead to maybe the next skirmish you guys may have with the Germans. We may sit that one out.
Yeah.
So just fucking, as a matter of fact, we don't want to go into Paris. We the airport. Bring him to the airport.
No.
And then we send a message. Hey, because we do this shit all the time. Like one of our, some guy over here from, you know, Florida, you know, kills his kid in a bathtub, and then he goes to Mexico, and he hides in Mexico, and we go, "Hey, Mexico, can we have our killer back?" And they're like, "I don't know, not so fast.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with them?" Fuck you very much.
Yeah.
We'll take him back. That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
It's none of your fucking business.
You're right.
We do that
all
the time.
Like,
why are we first, a guy fled to your country.
Right.
What do you care what we do with him?
And you don't want him?
And by the way, Becto, when did you start with the rules all of a sudden in your fucking lawless society? So we fucking needed to set this precedent early, and we didn't do
it.
And we could have done it with Roman Polanski. And now.
Didn't he win an Oscar when he was still having
for the pianist.
What the hell is this?
Once again, sending the message. That we don't come in and collect our own.
We celebrate you from afar.
Yeah, so they go to these shithole places, and we just sit back and go,
"What are you going to do?"
The Oscars are mad at Will Smith for a slap.
That's
Meanwhile, Roman Polanski, he has an Oscar.
That's right.
We'll send it to France.
Well, to be fair, Will Smith has an Oscar, too, now.
He did get an Oscar, but they was like, we might take it.
Yeah.
Roman Polanski is way further up the ladder
than
Will Smith.
Oh, if
on the
first
slap.
Off, if Will Smith had sodomized Rock on stage in a hot tub, we would be outraged. Okay? And it's the same difference.
Yes.
Sorry.
Well said.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change gears. Talk about the Foo Fighters.
Oh, that would have been a ratings bonanza.
Oh,
the slap was enough. But sodomized
in a hot tub.
That's right.
On stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The setup for that.
Yeah,
it's just
the setup.
They had on tuxes. You got to get through the tux.
The hot tub was suggested. It was pre-planned.
Right. Then we'd be like, "No, this was staged."
Let's talk about the Foo Fighters. They've announced their initial roster of guests for the Taylor Hawkins tribute concerts. There's going to be one in London and one in L.A., and they are both star-studded. I'll just give you a taste of both. So the September 3rd one's in London. They're going to have Brian May and Roger Taylor of Queen, Stuart Copeland from The Police, Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson of Rush, Liam Gallagher and Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders. In L.A., they're going to have – this is going to be the Forum on the September 27th. Alanis Morissette, Joan Jett, Gene Simmons, Nikki Sixx, Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Pat Wilson of Weezer. And all the proceeds will go to a charity picked by the Hawkins family.
Oh, wow.
So get your hot tickets.
I feel like I'd buy the ticket and an air flight, too.
That's
a much stronger lineup over there.
They're all over there.
I didn't find out till this year that Dave Grohl was in Nirvana.
Oh, what?
Wow.
I did not know that until the past year. My head blew off.
Now we're back.
Yeah.
The mayonnaise thing threw me off.
I didn't know he was in Nirvana, man. Star Wars. I thought it was just Kurt.
There we go.
And the guys.
There we go.
I didn't know.
What I'm talking
about. The other guy? Jane Kazmarek?
No, the fucking...
the bass player?
Yeah.
Has a crazy last name.
Yeah, something like that.
Very it was tall. Kurt, the baby in the pool.
Novoselic.
And the guy.
Novoselic, thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Whew.
Yeah.
Tony.
But I know now, though. Okay. I'm in the mix now.
Okay, good.
That's good.
I'm not a moment too late. All right, let's talk about Matthew Perry. He wrote a tell-all. And it's coming out soon. On Tuesday, he Instagrammed this post, this manuscript. It says, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. The Big Terrible Thing is probably about his addiction issues. That's what they're assuming. That's the reference to The Big Terrible Thing. It's due out in November. And from what I understand, Adam, you probably have more of an insight on this than I do. But if a publishing company is courting somebody with like an let's say an interesting past, you're not going to get out of spilling a lot of details on people.
I don't think they want necessarily your story unless it includes a lot of this.
Right.
Otherwise, we don't really need to hear about you're a big Mets fan and you're. Dad liked pottery.
Correct.
When you were a kid, you know, it's all about who'd you fuck on the set. And
right.
What, give us the dirt. That's what we want. And Perry was the one who seemed visibly intoxicated during the reunion thing, although they deny it.
They claimed dental surgery. Perfect timing for dental surgery.
Wow.
Again, you're getting paid. Everyone's getting $1 million for a Friends reunion on Netflix. Yeah. You've got a wisdom tooth you need removed or some bridge work done.
Push it to the day
20
after.
Seconds on the calendar. You're getting $1 million. Yeah. You're doing dental surgery the
we
day
can
before.
Be scheduled.
Yeah. Couldn't kick it back to the following Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems
we can reschedule
dubious.
That.
Yeah.
But also, whether they go like, it's like when the rock and roll guy can't make the show and he's 26. He's like, dehydration.
Mm-hmm,
it's like,
mm-hmm.
Dehydration, mm-hmm. You're fucking 26.
Yeah.
Drink some fucking Pedialyte and
get
hit the stage.
There.
You're indestructible when you're 26. You're not canceling 7 shows because you're dehydrated.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then that thing where they go like, there's also like, he was really tired. There's like jet lag.
It's exhaustion.
Like, how many, I've done tons of shit after dental surgery. I've done shit tired. I've done shit dehydrated. Mm-hmm. I've done shit after I got off a plane. Like,
yeah.
You can get it. You can get your shit together. It doesn't look
take a
like,
salt pill.
It doesn't look like that.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
No.
Yes.
I've been hopped up on many drugs, trying to get from here to whatever live show we were doing when we first started. Because remember how afraid I was of flying,
mm-hmm.
And then I got broken of that just because we were doing it every weekend, basically. But I would have to shake that shit off immediately because I could not spend 6 hours on that plane.
Yeah, he seemed. Intoxicated.
When you have dental work, also you can be like, I clearly have dental work. You don't seem like you're in another universe.
Yes,
also, I never knew this.
You didn't look good.
Are we enlightening you?
Yeah, this is. I never knew he was drunk during the reunion.
Yeah.
Well, he was. Something.
He was altered.
It was something.
Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
But maybe we'll find out during the book. Do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Okay. So. There's this Swedish campaign to get people in the city to throw away their garbage and reduce litter on the streets. And finally, I think they've got it figured out. Our people would probably try and fuck the trash can, but this is really fun for them. One city has installed trash cans programmed to respond with really like seductive audio messages every time you open it and put something in it. They're these green garbage bins and they answer passersby when they feed them trash. And I'm going to show you what that sounds like in a second. Mm-hmm. A person opening the trash can will put something in and then I'll translate it. But in Swedish, they'll say like, oh, yeah, right there. Oh. That was crazy good. Or come back and do that again. So this is what it sounds like in Sweden when you put the trash in the can.
Lite mer till vänster nästa gång.
Oh, there's more.
Ah, det där var galet skönt. Mer.
Oh,
well,
fish?
What was that last one?
That's somebody's daughter.
Yeah.
And ostensibly, the dad's out there somewhere with rappers. He's got to fucking deal with that shit. I'm worried
with
about him.
With old circulars, yeah.
Flip side, that's a good gig for a voiceover actor.
I would give anything
residuals?
For that.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think you get residuals, but I would still do it. A friend of mine just became the English voice on the Japanese subway system. I'm very jealous.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes. Really? I would love the trash can gig.
Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely. So that, there's an English voice on the Japanese subway
apparently
system?
Apparently so.
All right. So, couple things. I don't like it.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you why I don't like it. Hey, human being, you live in a motherfucking society. Throw your fucking trash away. Yeah. We do it out here. It's like, we're going to incentivize these criminals. Like, every day you don't stab someone, we'll give you $150. Like, I don't like where this is going. How about you stop the stabbing, people? True. We live in a fucking society. Like, you don't stab people, you don't rob things, you don't throw your garbage on the ground. Because then there's this, it gets into this point where you're sitting around and someone goes, don't throw that cigarette butt out the window or don't urinate on that stray dog. And you go, why? What's in it for me?
That's right.
What's in it for me? What's in it for
what
you?
What are you giving for me?
You get to approximate a human being while you're on this planet, fuck stick.
Yeah.
So this sort of like, we got to incentivize. Well, we'll give them clean needles and we'll give them like a place to shoot up and we'll pay them. There's like... Now there's all these pilot things like, we're going to pay criminals not to commit crime.
I would love to be paid not to commit crime.
Absolutely. This is all shit you should have learned a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And how about we punch you if you don't throw shit away versus give you a boner?
That's true. Yeah.
I like the fact that she swallows, though.
She sure does.
But,
I think this is a good plan. Every time it senses you're holding something in your hand that seems like trash and you walk by it, a little rope comes out and trips you.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. That would be good. Like one of those clothes hangers.
I'm Rodney Allen Rippey. I need your vote.
That's right.
If he puts those trash cans in Compton, he's in.
He's in.
Keep it Swedish, though.
That's right.
Compton.
That's interesting. That was good.
Okay. Yeah.
You been to Compton?
Yeah, for sure. I went to Compton. When I first came to L.A., I just went to Compton just because it was Compton.
Sure.
I got to see Compton, you know.
Right.
So I drove through. I haven't been there in years, though, but definitely had to pull up.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's definitely chronicled in many movies and songs.
Absolutely.
Now, so it's become like when I was a kid. See, I think I went to Compton twice. I went to the Patty Hearst SLA Seminese Liberation Army house that was shot out in like 1974.
Was it a field trip?
It was very specific
field trip.
Yeah,
I went to a hippie school.
Yeah.
Okay,
and what it was is, the teachers wanted to go check it out, I'm sure. And they were like, well, this would be a cultural experience for the kids. But it's more like, we want to go fucking see it because the Seminese Liberation Army, which isn't really a thing.
Right.
They just called themselves that, who kidnapped Patty Hearst, ended up
brainwashed.
Could have been South Central, somewhere in there, in a house, got in a shootout with the SWAT team. Burned the house down.
Oh, wow.
The ammunition all burned. It all burned. Like, they crawled underneath to try to get out of the fire. Everyone burned. They were shooting it out with the SWAT team and everything. And it was all over the news. And, of course, the next day, it was like, well, put your studies away. We're going over there. We're going to check it out.
This wasn't, like, historical, like, 30 years ago. This is, like, that week.
No. And so there was that. And then we also went to the Watts Towers.
Yes,
now, I'm not
I
sure.
Isn't Watts a racist?
Yeah, is Watts next to Compton? I mean, how far is Watts from Compton?
They're not that far apart.
It can't be that far.
No.
You get the idea.
Yeah.
Compton
I went there
adjacent.
Too.
And
we
don't, and it's not South Central anymore.
Oh,
really?
It isn't.
It's South LA.
Oh.
So everything's fine now.
When was that shootout, Emmy? It was like, must have been 74, 75.
Patty Hearst?
Yeah, 73, 74. She wasn't in the building.
Oh.
But they were.
Did she live?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's coming in next?
1974. Oh. Yeah. She's coming in with Rodney Allen Rippey. And then the Watts Towers is a little bit oversold.
It's smaller than I expected I went because of Menace to Society and the movie Ricochet with Denzel.
Right.
They actually
ended
had
up
that fight.
On, they had a fight on the Watts
it
Towers.
It looked epic on the movie.
Yeah.
But then when you pull up, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I will say this. Black people never go to the Watts Towers. You'll be disappointed. White people never see the original Batmobile.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be equally devastating. That is our Watts Tower.
The original Batmobile?
The original Batmobile.
From the Adam West joint?
Yeah. You see, just a bunch of, like, electrician's tape on the steering wheel falling off, man. And shit. That's our Watts Tower. That's you know, so we're equally.
Devastating.
We share your pain in that.
Yeah.
And I went to the Watts Towers, and first off, a crazy man just took rebar and stuck broken glass to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not magical.
It's
just like the kind of shit. Big tetanus shot waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And if that were anywhere else, they would have bulldozed it a million years ago. But a crazy man spent his lifetime sticking pieces of broken bottles to a rebar teepee,
yeah,
essentially.
And you took a field trip.
Definitely.
That's what we did.
You
never did.
You gotta go see the Watts Tower.
You gotta see though. You haven't lived.
It doesn't sound like I have.
Oh, it's breathtaking.
Get on that,
it's
man.
Majestic.
Clear
on the
schedule.
Other hand, if you see the Eiffel Tower, you'll be more impressed.
Right.
You get to the bottom, you look up, that's and go, oh, shit, that's a tower.
Right. Yeah. Now they have the light show.
Yeah. What is – we'll do it tomorrow. But, Emmy, write down Watts Tower. I want to know, like, how many years, what year, what the dude was.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
And they give you the history, too, when you pull up. And it's literally in a neighborhood.
Right.
There's no – you got to go to a park. It's literally you pull up and somebody's sitting on the porch like, well, look at this guy. Looking at the, it's like literally, and it's so close. It's like, wow, we are in Watts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where Sanford and Son was set.
Really?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be in Watts.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yes, indeed. See, putting you on.
This is great.
I didn't know about
Nirvana.
Dave Grohl.
A lot of culture, a lot of bridge building here.
Really having an exchange today.
Okay. You know, an exchange of information.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
What's up, motherfucker?
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Tony, by the way, is going to be, as you hear this, tonight through Saturday, coming up in Richmond, Virginia, at the Funny Bone Comedy Club. And then out here local, Flappers Comedy Club, Burbank, that'll be June 27th, and then Comedy Factory. Baltimore, Maryland, it'll be July 7th through the 9th, and his podcast, Verbal Cardio with Tony Baker, can be found wherever you find finer podcasts.
That's written on the bio.
It's written on the bio now. I insisted on it. Tony, great to see you. Come back anytime.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The Verzi Triplets can also be found on their podcast, The Verzi Triplets Show, available on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple as well. And then me, Denver, Colorado, coming up at the Comedy Works South. That'll be June 24th, 25th. Couple of shows there, live pod, and some stand-up as well. Until next time, I'm Crawford, Tony Baker, Alex Verzi, and Sean Verzi, and Mitchell Verzi saying mahalo.
That and South Americans that want to fuck our butts.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see The Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote, or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.